This is day 23. We are so close to the finish line, but still have all kinds of work to do. As you climb the wall of the South Rim, it is steep and feels like an endless trail of switchbacks.
Yeah, we've been hiking uphill for miles, and it just keeps getting tougher and tougher. If you've ever done any kind of a hike that has many switchbacks, you know how brutal it can be. It feels like it just goes on, and there always seems to be another one around the corner. You feel like you're so close to the end, but instead of seeing the finish line, it's more challenging work around every turn.
But within mile 23 was a turning point for us mentally. Partway through this section of the trail, you will come upon the 1.5 mile rest house. This is a popular day hike for people who are visiting the canyon from the South Rim and want to experience a small part of what hiking the Grand Canyon is all about.
The crazy thing is there is still another 1,120 feet of elevation to climb to get to the top of the canyon. But this is the final rest stop along the way. We know the next stop is at the top of the South Rim and the completion of this long hike. After stopping at the 1.5 mile rest house and refilling our water one last time, we were filled with hope. Although our bodies and legs were exhausted, there was this incredible adrenaline pumping through our bodies knowing that we were so close to the top and we were going to finish. Hope is a powerful thing, and I believe that God has designed us to need hope.
Hebrews 6 says, "Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls." I love that imagery. When we stay connected to Christ, our hope is secure, and we always have hope. Even as we journey through the valleys of life, we always have hope.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven. Pain is gone, mercy fills the streets. To look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear. And in the end, we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. Oh, there will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Oh, holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day, we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of with one voice, a thousand generations. Sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day, we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. Oh, with one voice, a thousand generations. Sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall reign. So let it be today. We shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. Raise a mighty roar.
Jesse Bradley is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in the greater Seattle area. He is a speaker, author, evangelist, and a former professional soccer goalkeeper. Jesse was an atheist who came to know Jesus in a very unlikely way at Dartmouth College. He wants everyone to know that they are loved by God and receive the indestructible hope we have in Christ. He encourages and empowers people to abide with Jesus where they live, work, learn, and play. Jesse and his wife, Lori, have four children. Let's take a listen to what he has to say today.
I didn't find hope until I lost it. My childhood dream was to play professional sports, and that came true after graduating from Dartmouth College. I played as a soccer goalkeeper in Zimbabwe, Africa. It felt surreal to sign that contract. I loved living there, and as that was happening, a tragedy occurred. I took a prescribed medication to prevent malaria. It built up toxic levels in my system. And as a result, the physicians in Zimbabwe sent me back to America. My health deteriorated, and I was fighting for my life for 1 year, and it took 10 years to fully recover. I couldn't believe it. I was not only having symptoms with my heart racing 160 beats a minute, atrial flutter, skip beats, murmur, pain in the left side of my chest day and night. That was one of about 10 physical symptoms. I also had waves of panic, anxiety, depression, and it was like being on a bad trip. I didn't use drugs growing up, but that's what it felt like. My system was pushed to the brink emotionally, physically, and it affected me spiritually too. I didn't grow up as a follower of Jesus, but I was a new Christian at the time. I had put my trust in the Lord, and it felt like I was being challenged on every level. It was brutal. It tested me to the core. During that time, God did a deep work in my life. And I want to focus on the ascent part of my story. And the first thing is that my relationship with God really changed. My view of God changed. I used to see God as only being primarily interested in the things in my life that were going well, the success. But I didn't know how much God wanted to enter in into the parts that were painful, mourning, grieving, that were dark, that were uncertain. And as I let God in, if you think about a house and all the different rooms, these were new rooms, new doors for me to open up. I also let people in. And that was a big part of my healing process. There was a deep shift, and it was with my identity. I was wrestling with, who am I? If I'm not a soccer player, if I'm not, you know, in school right now, getting good grades, like, well, who am I? What's left? And so much had been taken away. And I realized I had a performance-based identity, that it's a cruel path to be on, inflated, deflated, pride, shame. But my performance dictated how I felt about myself. And I was able to make a shift with God's help and be set free from that trap. And who I am is not what I do. There's a difference. And my identity landed in the grace of God. I could lose other things. If your identity is attached to what you can lose, then it's not a secure identity. And I shifted into God's presence, love, and His grace, and a security that led to a new authenticity in my life. During this recovery, and I was really in crisis mode, in survival mode, but now I look back and I can highlight different coping mechanisms, different tools that God gave me to make it through this. And one of them was gratitude, a gritty gratitude, saying thanks to God when I didn't even feel grateful, and 10 things every day, making a list, being intentional about that. I also was a goalkeeper on the soccer field. That was my livelihood, but I needed to stay in goalkeeper mode with my thoughts. I had hundreds of negative thoughts that would pour into my mind every day. I'm not going to get better. I'm not going to improve. I don't have a career. I can't build real friendships. All these negative first thoughts that I chose to not harbor, believe, or entertain, because you can't control the first thought. But I would intentionally replace it, rejecting the first thought, replacing it with a restorative second thought. I started to read scripture, memorize scripture, and I would focus on that during the day, a renewal of the mind. And I would keep those first thoughts kind of out of the back of the net, guarding my mind in that space between my ears, winning that battle. Because when your thoughts are healthy, it flows into every other part of your life. And I was in goalkeeper mode with my thoughts, called the power of the second thought, intentionally choosing what I'm going to focus on, whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, focus on that. In addition, in this closeness and abiding with Jesus, I started to pour out my heart to God in prayer. My prayers before that were short, intellectual, theological, accurate, but I didn't know how to pour out my heart to God. That was new. And I didn't realize before how much God was able to and wanted to carry my burdens. And to give him that stress, it was just too much of a load for me to carry. And giving God that freed me up. I started to experience that lightness, that knowing that God's with me, and I don't have to do this alone, and I can't do it alone. Like, I need God. There was a crushing that led to a freedom and reliance on God. I realized how much I need the Holy Spirit every day, and the Holy Spirit would start to take over in my life as I said yes. And in that relationship with the Holy Spirit, there was a sensitivity, a closeness that continues today, and a reliance that is so healthy. God used the pain I went through to forge and fuel a new purpose and passion in my life. I wanted to come alongside other people, and now connecting with other people. See, the low points in your life, those valleys, they become a bridge in how you can relate to other people and share what God has done in your life. And I started to share more. I was redirected by God into ministry. I never saw that coming. And I'm a pastor now. This was really a slow, gradual process. In fact, I charted and celebrated the progress because I couldn't walk without my heart accelerating too fast. The drug inhibited the inhibitors in my heart, and I couldn't regulate my heart rate. So I could look over many months and see I can now walk a few more minutes than I could walk before and celebrate that. Because if you have a chronic condition, you don't feel like you're moving forward. But physically, I could see the progress, and it was encouraging just to see that I'm moving in the right direction. God was moving in many parts of my life in this ascension. There's the physical I'm talking about. There's the emotional and the mental. There's also the spiritual in my relationship with Him, the vocational and the calling that He started to bring. And God was bringing these different parts together. They weren't compartmentalized. They were attached in one, health in one, started to pour over into health in another area. And in all these areas, I started to cultivate these new habits that continue today. And pouring out my heart to God, I can go back to Psalm 62 verse 8, you know, trust in Him at all times, pour out your heart to Him. And I could see how that verse was a turning point in my life, because the Word of God is alive. And when you start to do it, then you start to grow spiritually. And that relates to so many other areas, because now that I feel safe talking to God openly, I feel safe and I take those relationship risks with other people and become more transparent and vulnerable in those settings. So I'm painting a picture here. It's a mosaic. It wasn't sequential. It wasn't compartmentalized. It wasn't all planned. But when you draw close to God, He will draw close to you. And when He starts to move, there's a healing journey and a path of restoration that He leads you on. He writes a script, and there's an ascension that happens. Out of my story, God's opened up doors, and now we have a media ministry, and now I've had appearances on Good Morning America a couple times, and NBC News, and CBS Sports, and many other major networks, and there's an opportunity to share Jesus. We had a Hope campaign, and we saw 480,000 people decide to follow Jesus for the first time. And I'm amazed looking back, because I thought I would be a goalkeeper till I was 40. I thought I'd play overseas, you know, Man United, like, had all these roads and doors that appeared to be open were suddenly taken away, and God changed and redeemed. And now I see the value. Soccer is still a big part of my life, but also this story of how God takes the worst circumstances. He does His greatest work in the darkest moments. Fruit grows in the valleys, not necessarily the mountaintops. And what God can do, there's no limits. And what the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy, God can turn it around for good. And when you step back and you look at your story, it's a story of the grace of God. In the ascension, your healing is attached to the encouragement and healing and empowering that God wants to do in many lives. So as you receive blessings from the Lord, freely you receive, freely give, pass those on. Share your story. Share it often. Share it in settings where it's one-on-one. Share it in podcasts. Share it in conversations. Share it in church. Because how God works in your life, it's linked and attached to the blessings He wants to bring in other people's lives. And in that ascension, I was going to summarize two pieces. The first, abide with God. Abide with Jesus. John chapter 15. When you abide with Jesus, you will bear much fruit. No one can take away your closeness with God, prayer, worship, gratitude. No one can take that away. And then also the second thing, cultivate habits. I call them hope habits. Be intentional to cultivate the habits in Scripture. As you do that, there's going to be a well that God brings into your life, and those habits are also going to lead to new relationships, new opportunities. God's going to give you boldness, wisdom. As you rely on Him in an abiding relationship, you cultivate those habits. God is going to do far beyond what you could ask or imagine, and the ascension is part of your story, that God is going to lead you first inward in your inner life and then your outer life in your relationships locally and globally. May Jesus be glorified in our ascension.
What an inspiring story of hope. I love how Jesse is such an incredible example of looking to Jesus in the midst of a trial. He mentioned throughout his talk about this gritty gratitude, about how important it is to thank God in the midst of your struggle. We've done that throughout this experience. I want to encourage you to do that again. In fact, Jesse mentioned that he used to make a list every single day of 10 things that he was thankful for. Why don't you take a moment right now and make a mental list of the things that you're thankful for. A major part of this 24-day experience is to share your story. Jesse said it this way. He said, as you receive, freely give. I want to encourage you, who in your life do you need to share your story with? Tomorrow is going to be amazing as we complete day 24 and finish our journey through the Grand Canyon.